Okay, let's turn to Acts chapter 1, if you would. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter number 1, and I'm going to read about 11 verses here. As soon as I get there, Acts chapter 1. We'll start in verse number 1. Acts chapter 1, verse number 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessings upon the message this morning. I thank you for each and every one's here. Thank you for the good singing this morning. God, just thank you for the good spirit. And Lord, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for loving us. And Lord, I ask this morning, God, that you'd bless this message, that you'd use it for your honor and glory, that you'd help me to be able to preach it in a way that is pleasing to you, and that, Lord, it might bring forth some fruit in those that hear it today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here Luke is writing to what must have been a friend of his, Theophilus. His gospel, if you read the gospel of Luke, he writes that to Theophilus as well. And Theophilus, his name means lover of God. Isn't that something? And when you think about that, I guess we could all say that, you know, here this morning, we love God. So I guess this thing will be written to us too, right? Amen. We know all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's meant for us, and it's good for us. So I want to look at a couple of things here through this passage. First of all, in verse 3, he addresses the certainty of the resurrection. He says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to notice that word infallible. You see that word in there? That's one of the most attacked words in the new versions. They all want to yank that baby out of there. You know why? Infallible means that there's no error, there's no chance of mistake. This thing is absolutely 100% guaranteed fact. That's what it means. Infallible proofs mean you can't find any problems with them, can't find any faults with them, and they all attack it. I'm glad to know it's infallible. He also talked about the witnesses there that were to testify. You know, there were more witnesses than you could count to see the resurrected Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 said he was seen above 500 brethren at once. Well, above 500, you want to tell me what that number is? You can't. So what we say is we cannot number them. But the idea was it wasn't just like in the case of Joseph Smith, him in the stone glasses behind the curtain making everything up. No, in this case here, his witnesses saw the resurrected Jesus Christ, heard him speak, were able to listen and see and even touch him. And so it says there that the certainty of the resurrection. We also see the commission to those remaining, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, it's interesting here that they were to be witnesses. And he had to clarify not just in Jerusalem. He had to say in Samaria, where they, remember, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Now he's saying, you got to go to Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Well, what does that do? That puts you out there in other places altogether. And so he says there, they're going to have to go all over the globe preaching the gospel. May I submit to you today that what our nation needs more than anything else is some good witnesses? Amen. That's what we need. We need people testifying the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. We don't have a whole lot of that going on today. Thank God we have people that hand out tracts. Thank God we have people that will go on the street and preach. Thank God we have people that will go to flea markets, do whatever needs to be done to get the word of God out. Because if we're not doing it, who is? And we need to be witnesses. It's a commission. Then we see down here in verse number 9, we see a cloud ride to glory. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Isn't that something? And that thing just took him right off. He's talking to them, and I don't know how this works. I don't know if it's kind of like, you know, you see them people on the stage, and the mist starts floating in from the background, and the next thing you know, they're all covered in smoke, you know. I don't know if that is how it is. The cloud came around him, and he just started going up. I don't know. It said, while they beheld, he ascended up, a cloud, off he went. And you know, they see there in verse number 10, it says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, they just kind of standing there like this. I'm sure. I mean, I would have been. Well, where is he now? How high do you think he is? I mean, going up, 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 up. I would have been looking. And you look at that thing, and then it says two men stood by. While they looked steadfastly, two men stood by them in white apparel. So a couple of angels show up, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? You know, this is a rebuke. Hey, what are you guys doing? Standing around here staring up into heaven. Didn't he give you a job to do? And, you know, we have to be careful about being cloud watchers ourselves, you know. We want them to come back so soon, so right, so we'll just sit and wait. And I think that's what he was trying to tell them. We are not to be comfortable in waiting. We should be about the business that we're supposed to be getting done. And then they give him a reminder of a promise there in verse 11. At the end of the verse, he said, this same Jesus, right in the middle there, he said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now think about this. That is a reminder of a promise that Jesus made his disciples in John 14. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Yeah, remind them. This same Jesus that you're seeing going up is coming down again, just like he said. And I want to kind of focus on a few words in that sentence right there. It says, this same Jesus. It's not going to be a different Jesus. It's not going to be maybe a modified contemporary model, fit for the religious services of today that comes back. That's not it. He's going to come back. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This same Jesus will be the one coming back. And when you get a hold of the importance of that statement, there's some things that you already know about Jesus and what to be looking for in the individual that returns. I want to look at some things about him. Look with me in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and some things about the Lord here that we know because it's this same Jesus. What do we know about Jesus? Well, there's some things in the Bible we know. This same Jesus, Luke 1, verse number 30. Here the angel is shown up to Mary, and in verse number 30, and the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." I want you to know the first thing that you understand about Jesus Christ is that he is the Son of God. He's not the brother of Lucifer. He's not a created individual. He's not just a prophet or a good man. He was God manifest in the flesh. God himself coming to this earth, entering into the womb of a virgin, a woman undefiled by man, conceived of the Holy Ghost of God, brought forth in purity, lived a sinless life. He was born in Bethlehem. He was hid in Egypt. He was raised in Nazareth. It is that Jesus that is coming back again. That same Jesus. He's the one that called the apostles from their ordinary, meaningless lives as fishermen into the service of God. I'll bet James and John, I'll bet Peter and Simon, I bet they were ever grateful to the Lord for coming by that day and telling them to follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You say, why? That Jesus had power. That Jesus was the Son of God. He empowered them by his Spirit. That same Jesus that consecrated the miracles or performed the miracles there and was consecrated by them. You think about it. The one that turned the water to wine at the marriage feast in Canaan. The one that cleansed the lepers as they cried out to him. The one that caused the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, and the lame to walk. I'm talking about that Jesus, amen. The one that could raise the dead to life again. The one that fed the multitudes with a few loaves and a couple of fishes. He that walked on the water during the tempest. He that calmed the storm simply by speaking a few words. He is the Jesus that is coming back. Amen. He's the Son of God. All those things testify to that. Who else could do that? Even Nicodemus, when he came to him, said, "We know that thou art come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And he said, we figured that much out. You and I know that. When Jesus comes back, he's not going to be any less than he was when he was here. In fact, he's going to be more than what he was when he was here. We're going to see the glorified Lord. I want you to look in John chapter 10. So this same Jesus, well, who is he? Well, first of all, he's the Son of God. Isn't that something? Now look over here in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse number 9. Jesus is speaking here. John 10 verse 9. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved,
and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. I want you to notice that not only is Jesus the Son of God, but Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. He is the good shepherd, the one that gave his life for the sheep. You know, the Bible tells us that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. This is the one that you can't buy him off, because he has a love for the sheep, enough so that he would give his life for them. And you know, that's our Savior. He is the good shepherd. This same Jesus who left the 99 to go seek that lost sheep that was astray. I don't know about you, but I'm really glad that he does come looking for those lost sheep. Amen. This is the one that calls to the lonely heart. There are people that are in crowds and they're still lonely. They're by themselves. They feel just isolated and unloved and uncared for. But Jesus is seeking for them. Why? Because he's the good shepherd, and he wants to pick them up in his arms and show them the compassion and love that a shepherd has for his sheep. He's the one that searches for the wounded soldiers, those that are serving. And one day just the devil came by and just got a little too tough. That roaring lion hurt them and injured them and got them out of the fight. It's the Lord that goes and finds and binds up their wounds and places them on his shoulder and brings them back into the fold. Amen. That's our Savior. That's our shepherd. He's the one that gave living water to the Samaritan woman. He's the one that healed the broken heart of a grieving widow. He's the one that restored wandering Peter back to the fold. Amen. He is the good shepherd. It's the one that David wrote about in Psalm 23, for the Lord is my shepherd. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to call him mine. I'm glad to know that I'm in the fold today. You say, what are you talking about? He's the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He said, I am the door. If you're going to get in, you got to come in by the door. Amen. Isn't it something? David wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, you think about it, you're not going to want for much. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You're going to have the rest that the Lord wants you to have. He takes care of his sheep. You ever had the Lord not take care of you since you've been saved? No, you haven't. He's never left you destitute, never left you without love and compassion and concern. He's always there. It says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. You know what the Lord does? He refreshes his children. He gives them, quenches that thirst in your soul that you have. He says there, he restoreth my soul. Well, that sounds like revival to me. Amen. You start getting in there, you say, what is it? That's what the Lord does. That's what the good shepherd does. He is the shepherd of the sheep. David goes on to say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I want you to think about something. They said, this same Jesus whom you've seen go up will come again as you've seen him go. He's coming in the clouds. You say, what is he? He's the Son of God. You say, what is he? He's the shepherd of the sheep. That's what he is. He's coming back. He said he would, and he is. I want you to see something else. Look over in 1 Timothy. This same Jesus. Boy, I tell you, there are going to be a whole lot of people surprised that it's not the Jesus that they've fabricated, not the Jesus that they made up to justify their sinful lives. It's going to be that same Jesus. That same Jesus. I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Come on down here, verse number 12. 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'll tell you who this same Jesus is. He's the Savior of men. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Isn't that interesting? There are a whole lot of people think they're going to get to heaven some other way. Whole lot of people that think they don't need Jesus. But when he comes, it'll be the same Jesus that they've rejected over and over again. He is the Savior. He is the only Savior. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who spoke of the new birth to Nicodemus, a lost religious man. Didn't even know what he was seeking, but he knew he was missing something. And it was Jesus that answered the unspoken question that Nicodemus had when he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Tells him straight up, right up, what he needed to do. He's the one that rescues the perishing. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, you think about that thing. He's the one that came. He's the Savior of men. The one who suffered all the wrongdoing of sinful men against himself. Why has he paid for your sin, debt, and mine? You know, he had to listen to the crowd that he ministered to. Those that he had helped. Those that he had spoken to. Those that he had just really preached to and ministered to. And now that crowd's yelling, crucify him! Crucify him! Imagine what went through the Savior's heart and mind that day. Isn't it something? Mocked by men, spit upon, brutally beaten, and nailed naked to the cross. And you think about all this stuff, and you look at that, and you go, why? Why? And in the midst of all of it, he cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the Savior. That's the Savior. You know, when you think about it, what do we really deserve? We really deserve a judge. We really deserve to be sentenced for our crimes against the Lord. But the Lord came merciful. The Lord came as a Savior. This same Jesus pardoned a repentant thief on the cross while he himself was suffering and dying for our sins. Full of compassion. He promised him a place in paradise. This is the one that saved the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. The one who redeemed young Timothy. There's Matthew, Mark, John, Barnabas, Silas, and countless others that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. I'm so glad one day he came by Garland, Texas. A little apartment down there that I lived in. Autumnwood apartment. I can't remember the apartment number, and that's an amazing thing. I could take you right to it. And he came by one day, and there I was, lost and undone, crying out from the depths of my heart, Lord, I don't want to die like this. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be like I am. I'm ready to change. Please forgive me and save me. And the Savior came by that day. Oh, yeah. You say, which one? This same Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the shepherd of the sheep. He's the Savior of mankind. He's the only one. And you know, he came and brought some new life. The Bible says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the Savior. Jesus Christ isn't looking to exact vengeance on you. He's looking to put mercy on you, to forgive you,
to show you love, compassion, to give you a new life in Christ. That's what he's good at. He's the Savior. He's the only one that can. You know, he's that same Jesus that's coming. Now, what's interesting for you and I is that same Jesus that they beheld that day going up, those of us that are born again, we know him. He's the Son of God, but he's said to be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the shepherd. He's our shepherd. He's my shepherd. And he's my Savior. And when he comes back as they're looking for him, you and I will be coming back with him. Isn't that something? He's a good Savior. I'll tell you, this same Jesus needs to be the one we preach to this world today. We need to keep reminding them who Jesus is according to the Bible. Because they've got a perverted view today. They don't see Jesus as the Jesus in the Bible. They see him as one that they've made up or been taught about that is not the one that we know. And so I would encourage you today to be the witnesses that the Lord wants you to be. We've got a job to do. The commission remains the same. They need to know who Jesus is. Without knowing Jesus, there's hell to pay. Without Jesus Christ, without the Savior, without the Shepherd, without the Son of God on your side, you're without hope, lost, and undone. Who's going to tell him? Who's going to tell him? Let it be us. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your grace. And Lord, if ever there was a day people need to know about the real Jesus, today's the day. I pray that you'd help us to get this message out. I get talking to people and their Jesus is just some kind of partying buddy. Their Jesus is just a blank check for them to live a sinful life and under the guise of grace. Their Jesus is a created being. Their Jesus is a brother of the devil. I mean, it's just so bad, Lord. And if we don't go out there and tell them who Jesus is, they won't ever know. So, Lord, help us to be faithful. And we look forward to seeing this same Jesus. I look forward to bowing at his feet one day, thanking him for saving a sinner such as I. Thanking him for giving my sins and giving me a new life. Father, I pray that you'd have your will and way in this invitation. Lord, speak to hearts. Maybe some just need to come and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being that same Jesus, that you never change. You're just as faithful today as you've been since the day we accepted you, and you will remain faithful in all eternity. Lord, we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.